Where would America be? Where would American families be without the American Family Association? We're going to talk about that right now. Actually, the organization is celebrating its 40th anniversary. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Tim Wildman, who is the executive director of the American Family Association. Tim, it's great to have you back on the program.
Hey, Jerry. As always, good to be with you, brother.
Sure. Okay, now the website is afa.net. Okay, for somebody who's been living in a cave for the last 40 years, tell us what the AFA is.
American Family Association is a national Christian ministry, and our focus is on activism and engagement in the culture, and that does from time to time involve politics and law and government, but it also involves, promoting biblical morality. So that's who we are. That's what we do. And we've been going strong, as you said, now for 40 years since my dad, Don Wildman, founded the ministry.
That's great. He's still alive, right?
He is. Unless something's happened in the last hour or so.
Okay.
he's still alive. And he comes into the office. He's 79 years old.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't get around real well and has a hard time seeing, but he comes in about 2 hours a day and,
wow,
is still interested in what we're doing here. And
good.
As I say, he's retired. But anyway, the Lord used him for many, many years to lead this ministry.
Yeah, he once told me in an interview we did probably about 30 or something years ago on the radio, he said that basically one night he was relaxing. This is before the AFA existed, okay? So he's relaxing, he wants to watch TV, he doesn't want to, deal with his ministerial duties as a Methodist minister or whatever, he just wants to tune out and just watch TV. So he said one channel after another, there was just all these terrible things on TV. And one of those things I still remember to this day, he said there was a film or TV show where there was a man with a hammer who was hitting another man with the hammer over the head. He said that was on one channel. And, every channel he went to, there was something objectionable. And so he ended up founding the National Foundation for Decency or whatever, which eventually changed the name to American Family Association. Something like that. But I'll never forget that story, especially about the hammer part, because it's like, wow.
Right.
Right.
No, you're right. You're recalling that interview well. That's exactly what happened. And I was probably 13 at the time, and I had siblings, two sisters and a brother, all younger than me. Hmm. And that's right. We couldn't find anything on television. Of course, at that time, you didn't have it, three channels in PBS. But that's really the 70s and then into the 80s. That's really when the landscape of television began to change. The entertainment programs became less concerned about, they lost really their sense of moral values and promoting good things, and became more interested in exploiting violence, sex, and using profanity more and more. Mm. It was, as some people say, the coarsening of the culture, and it really began to take place with television in that era. So things began to change, and Dad wanted to give leadership. God really called him to give leadership in the Christian community with others, too. He wasn't the only one. There were people like Dr. James Kennedy, James Dobson, Reverend Mrs. LaHaye,
mm-hmm.
those come to mind. There are many others, Jerry Falwell and others that were also called up about the same time to give leadership in the Christian community to respond to this cultural decay.
D. James Kennedy, by the way, was the ultimate founder of this particular radio station where I'm talking to you from. And I want to congratulate you. I understand there was a recent survey among Christian conservatives conducted by the American Culture and Faith Institute, and it found that the American Family Association was listed as number 4 on its list as one of the most effective cultural change institutions or organizations in our country. I'm sure people, if they go on the website afa.net, there's a link perhaps to that particular article. And so I want to ask you about your recent boycott with Target, because that's been something you've been involved in a lot lately.
Yeah, Target, of course, everybody knows who Target is, the big, store chain across America retailer. They, for some reason, some inexplicable reason, although I think I know why, but just of a business decision, why they wanted to announce to the world, as they did a year ago April, that they were now welcoming men into the women's restrooms and changing areas of their stores was ridiculous. And what I think they were trying to do was pile on North Carolina, because the HB2 bill there, which prohibits men from using women's restrooms and changing areas and showers and state-owned facilities. I think Target thought, hey, this will be cool. We'll announce this policy and everybody will love us, and we'll be, the leaders in this new movement, the LGBTQ movement. And well, it backfired on them immediately, because people who go into these stores of Target, they don't want to fear sending their 7-year-old daughter into the women's restroom and there's some man in there. Or changing areas, having men there that where only women are supposed to go, or little girls. That's just ridiculous, and it's unsafe. And so we unsafe, and also we think it's just a liability for the stores as well. Ultimately, it may prove to be legally somewhere down the road if they're not protecting the women and the little girls any more than they are here. So we initiated a boycott of Target, and within one week, we got 1 million signatures. Wow. Of people, and that represented families who, 1 week, we looked and looked. We can't, maybe there is an example, but we can't find an example of any petition ever garnering any more people in 1 week than we did with that one. And it really rocked Target's world. I mean, they have suffered. This is provable through business analysts, and they have to report their earnings every quarter. They've just gone down, 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 down. Their stock's gone down, 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 down. Lost, like, I think it's $13 billion over the last year and 2 or 3 months of value, the Target. But what did Start? We've been up to meet with them twice in Minneapolis. They haven't changed their policy yet, although I know that they regret doing this, but or at least announcing it to the world. But now what it has done, it stopped all these other companies who probably were going to follow suit with Target. It stopped them in their tracks. We know that for a fact. We've heard from several companies, people who work on the inside, saying they watched what happened with Target, and they decided not to join in on this this craziness. So yeah, that's what's been going on with the Target boycott. It's been very successful.
And yet to this day, I understand Target's kind of dug in their heels, and they're not changing their policy.
Yeah, they're trying to save face. I got to think that's going to change soon. They've had to let several of their top executives go. What they're worried about would be blowback from the other side if they did, because this is such a high-profile situation. They're almost probably stuck with it, although they are a liberal company.
Yeah,
they've done things in the past, so they have a history here. Target does. So it's to their own peril, because as we've seen here, people can shop somewhere else. Target's not the only game in town.
Is the American Family Association primarily a network of Christian radio stations, or how would you describe it? Your organization?
We do have radio stations across the country, 184, I think. But we have a magazine that goes to, 150,000, 60,000 people a month, and called the American Family Association Journal. We reach over 1 million people with our email action alerts that go out 2 times a week. So
good.
We have ways of reaching people, out there across the country who are like-minded and who want to take a stand for or as the Bible calls it, righteousness' sake.
Sure.
So, we're using all the means we can find to reach the public. That's the goal.
Yeah. Now, I work full-time as a TV producer for D. James Kennedy Ministries, and I've met you in that capacity and so forth. And both our organization and your organization are listed on the Southern Poverty Law Center's hate map as if we're supposedly hate organizations. So right next to the Ku Klux Klan, there's the American Family Association. Right next to the neo-Nazi group, there's D. James Kennedy Ministries. It's an outrageous claim. And in the case of the Family Research Council, it actually led to violence. And yet to this day, the Southern Poverty Law Center continues with this hate map as they're making a profit. In fact, just recently, you'd be happy to know about this. Just recently at the ministry here, we've made a special that's going to be coming out real soon called Prophets of Hate. And that S is the dollar sign. And the subtitle is the Southern Poverty Law Center, because they're profiting by, you know, tossing out this reckless label of hate. You know, in reality, it's kind of like this, Tim. Hey, we don't agree with you, so you're a hater. You're a hate monger. I mean, it's, right. It's absurd. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the Southern Poverty Law Center, or SPLC, is just as you've described. I think most people say they were a legitimate organization.
Yes.
Back in the 60s.
Well, 70s. They started in 71, but
the 70s, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The civil rights movement,
right,
era, you know, trying to promote, you know, fairness for African-American people in our country. You know, that's a good aim and goal and objective, but they switched. Once that was over, they needed a reason to exist, and they are, you know, Morris Dees is their founder.
Mm-hmm.
He's a far left guy. Ironically, he lives in Montgomery, Alabama, probably one of the most conservative cities in America.
Yeah,
but they have to have a reason to exist. They fundraise relentlessly in Hollywood and other places, so they've got to have their boogeyman to. You know, to fight and to tell their supporters, hey, give us money and we'll fight the hate groups. And so they got to name hate groups. It's got to be more than just KKK, because they're hardly even in existence anymore. So that's why they go after mainstream groups like yours, like ours. And what they do is they, if you disagree with homosexuality on theological grounds, that in itself is hate. And that's by definition in their view hate, and they're gonna write that down against you. Mm-hmm. So that's more or less why we get rated the way we do, because we promote the biblical idea that sex and marriage is between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that homosexuality, according to Romans chapter 1, is sinful behavior and therefore not to be promoted. It's unhealthy and unnatural as well. It's just sinful. So that's the reason we're tagged that way, and I'm sure that's the reason most of these Christian groups are tagged that way.
Mm-hmm. All right, I've got your
act. They've lost a lot of legitimacy in the eyes of, and credibility in the eyes of a lot of people, fair-minded people, I think. Especially really hurt them when they went after Dr. Ben Carson.
Right.
A couple of years ago, whenever it was, they went after him. And they, by the way, they rescinded that condemnation of calling him a hate group or something. I don't know what they really.
Yeah, well, what they do is, since I've researched this so much, they have the hate map on the one hand, and the AFA is there, so is D. James Kennedy Ministries.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they have extremist files, and so these are, at the present time, I believe, our last check, it was 115 extremist files, and these are individuals. You're there as one of the 115. David.
You're right.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Just go on SPLC and then look under at their hate map, and then you can also see David Barton is there just before David Duke. I'm serious. I'm not joking. I'm not making this up. Right after David Duke is a former communist who became a conservative named David Horowitz. And they list him as a hater because he, you know, shines a light on radical Islam. Well, we're out of time, basically, right. But any last thoughts on AFA and its future?
Well, we're just going to, as my dad always say, people say, Don, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just keeping on, keeping on. You know, God's given us his standard in the Bible, and we're going to keep promoting that and standing for that. Hope and pray that America can turn around because it's the only America we have. And so for our children and our grandchildren, we want to preserve this great country and its values that are traditional values. So we're going to keep working to that end.
All right. Well, God bless you. Keep up the great work. AFA.net. Mm-hmm. Tim Wildman, again, executive director of the organization. Thanks so much and congratulations.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. All the best. Bye-bye.